Coming up on today's show.
Other faculty members would say, "Are you okay?" I said, "No, I'm not okay. If I were okay, I could live like you. I know I'm not okay. That's why I have to live in a monastery. I wouldn't be able to be a Christian if I weren't in a monastery." It's much harder for the kids, their parents, to be Christians than it is for me because I have support all around me.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They will both get you to the same place. Stay in the know. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday. That's it. I'm not going to overdo it with emails. Just once a week when a new episode comes out. While you are on the website signing up for the newsletter, look at the top of any page on the site and you will see social media links, logos actually, for this show, meaning Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. There is a recent post on all four of those, including a YouTube short, showing me standing at the mic recording the show intro. If you want to go look for that 35-second video on any of those four social media platforms. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. I do truly enjoy hearing from listeners, really. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Are you listening? No, not to me. Not are you listening to Catholic Sports Radio. Those of you who have coached have had times when you have looked at one of your players and posed that question. In fact, as a fan, the next time you're watching a sporting event and a team calls a timeout, watch the players to see if they're looking at their coach during those 30 seconds or whether it appears as though they're staring at someone in the crowd or maybe even whispering with a teammate or if they are listening to the coach. Parents, I know you have exhausted yourself with that question to your kids. Are you listening? But the all-important self-audit as Catholic Christians is, are we listening for God each and every day in all that we do, in athletics, at our jobs, in our home life, and yes, certainly when we're in church. In other words, not just when we need Him or not just when we think He hasn't been with us. After all, the coach never leaves the bench and abandons his team during a game, right? In the Old Testament, we read in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, quote, "And your ears shall hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, when you would turn to the right or the left." We are all looking for different ways to save money, so consider this. You are young, you don't go to the doctor that often, yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your health care with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the boxes of affordable, faith-based health care and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/catholic-radio. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has been the headmaster at St. Benedict's Prep in Newark, New Jersey for more than 50 years. He is a graduate of that school and has been featured on 60 Minutes and on Fox News. On the sports side, he wrestled, played football, and captained the tennis team, and went on to coach wrestling for St. Benedict's Prep. Over 6 years ago, a video went viral of him on the basketball court hitting a hook shot from three-point range wearing his clerics. Meanwhile, he received the first Robert F. Kennedy Award for Urban School Leadership from the National Schools That Can organization in 2014 and was named a New Jersey icon by NJBiz in 2020. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Father Edwin Leahy.
Thank you very much, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure. I'm going to be really surprised if you don't tell me the Garden State, but go ahead and tell us, where were you born and raised, as well as what the family size was?
I was born in Woodbridge, actually in Railway Hospital, by mom and my dad, and I'm the oldest of four children, two girls and my brother. My brother's the youngest, and two girls are in between us.
Okay. Let me start this next question the same way I started that question. Since you are a priest, I'm going to be really surprised if you don't say yes. But just for the record, cradle Catholic? Raised in a Catholic household?
Yes. Cradle Catholic.
And tell us about that environment in the Leahy household when you were a young boy.
So I also had the advantage of growing up with my grandfather and grandmother, my maternal ones, my mother's parents, and my paternal grandmother. And they were all, especially my grandmother's, were prayers. So from the time I can remember, I remember them praying. And my dad was that way too. I saw my father every morning and every night before he went to work, at night before he went to bed, kneeling at the side of his bed praying. So I grew up around prayers. So when I was young, I must have said to myself, I guess that's what you're supposed to do. Mm. I learned it from them. My grandmother actually had a unique, and I studied a lot of theology, and I used to say, I said, no, this is, it can't be, this is not true. But she had a unique relationship with the Blessed Mother. She could change the weather. She could get all kinds of favors done. It was unbelievable to have the experience with her. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. It's powerful testimony. And what a great example for a young boy to see when you mentioned your father praying as regularly as he did. But let's talk some sports so that we can then combine everything, as is the mission of this ministry. In the intro, I mentioned that you played three different sports. Tell us about when you got started into playing sports and how, meaning who or what, inspired you to want to get into athletics.
So when I was young, my parents, my father was an operating engineer. My mother was home laboring or raising us. And we joined a kind of a poor man's swim club. Right? All the families that belonged to this club were all working people. Right? They were carpenters and engineers and plumbers. And my father, as I said, was an operating engineer. So the work on the swimming pool and the tennis courses that were done by the members. So I got a chance to, I think my parents joined that when I was like eight. So I learned to swim and to play tennis in that context all the time. Mm. I played football when I came to school here at St. Benedict's. I told my parents I was going to go out for football, and my father said, great, go ahead. My mother said, you shouldn't do it. My father said, let him go. So I started playing football when I got here as a 13-year-old at Benedict's. I had done tennis and swimming a lot all through the summers growing up from the time I was eight.
And I know that you feel that you learned a lot from the coaches when you were a young boy, and that shaped a lot of what you do today as headmaster.
Correct. The football coach that I had, I was a horrible football player. I was a guy who got into the game when we were winning by 40 or losing by 40. Right? That's when the guy looked at me and said, go ahead in, kid. Right? And the locker rooms, any good, really, really good team, the locker room is critical, right? So I learned a lot from the conversations and the encouragement that came from coaches before games, before practices. And this coach, Joe Kasberger, had a huge influence on me and the way I looked at building team, working as part of a team, giving up what I want for what we need, those kind of things that influence what we do here now at St. Benedict's a lot. They influenced it a lot. I wrestled only because I was 90-some pounds when I was a freshman. The freshman football coach happened to be the head wrestling coach, and he talked me into going out for wrestling because I was so small, and then they were looking for the 98-pounder at the time. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to be a swimmer. So I had done that at the club from the time I was eight. So I go out for wrestling because I respected the coach. And it turns out that, in fact, just before I got on the phone with you, I got a text from a guy by the name of Mike Caruso. Mike Caruso weighed about 75 pounds.
Wow.
And was a freshman, a classmate of mine. And he was in the same weight with me. And he never lost a match here at Benedict's. Went on to Lehigh University and won 3 national collegiate wrestling championships.
Wow.
In his sophomore, junior, senior year.
Wow.
And that's interesting because when we were freshmen at college, freshmen couldn't compete on a varsity level. So he won every year that he was able to be a varsity athlete at Lehigh. He won the national championship. So my wrestling career was short-lived, right? Because, like, there's no way I could beat Mike, even though we're best friends, right, to this day. You know? So my 10th and 11th and 12th grade years, I went back to swimming, and then in the spring played tennis. This was in the days when every guy was doing 3 sports, right? The notion of training in one sport all year long was completely foreign to any of us when I was a kid.
But audience, don't miss that Father Edwin said that he went out for wrestling because he respected the coach, right? So you just heard him say that he really wasn't someone that you'd look at and instantaneously think must be a wrestler. So that's the impression. Those of you that are coaches, recognize everything that Father Edwin has said so far, especially the lessons that he absorbed in those locker rooms and the way that he used it later in life. We are up to 307 consecutive weeks of the show, 307 guests, and everybody has a different story, including the clergy. I'm always most interested to hear about when and how a guest who is a clergy member heard the call to devote their life to serving the Lord. Father Edwin, what did that look like for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. People ask me that every once in a while. I really don't remember wanting to do or be anything else.
Wow.
Some people come to it when they're older at the last minute, or so to speak, the last minute.
Yeah.
But I never, because I had seen this with my grandmother, my father praying, and then I lived a block away from the church. And my father and mother were great friends with the parish priests. So after confessions on Saturday night, confessions used to go in the afternoon and then again at night from 7:30 to 9, my father would go to confession to make sure he was the last one to go. And usually the priest in the confessional would say, Bill, I'll be up in 15 minutes. So I grew up with priests around me all the time, right? Mm. And so I admired them, and I said, well, maybe I can do that.
Mm.
So I can remember as a little kid celebrating Mass in the house, making my sister be attend, you know what I mean? My sister would be in the assembly and I would celebrate the Mass. Yeah. So it was like super important to me.
Mm.
And I had no idea about being a monk or a Benedictine until I came here to St. Benedict's. And then I combined my experience with the priest in the parish with my experience here. And I can also tell you, my father wanted me to go to school where I was taught by, it was a single-sex school where I was taught by men. And I didn't get in. I got rejected when I applied.
Mm.
And I applied to 3 schools here, St. Peter's Prep in Jersey City, and St. Mary's High School in South Amboy, which no longer exists. And I get rejected at St. Peter's, I get rejected at St. Benedict's, I get into St. Mary's. Why didn't my father say, great, you can go to St. Mary's?
Hmm.
But he didn't. He went to the pastor of the church, and he asked if he would intercede for me to get me into Benedict.
Interesting.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, especially the role I've had over the last 50 years. If he had not asked that, my whole life would have been completely different. So how God works,
very much so,
in our history is really, really important to realize. So I didn't know exactly where it was, St. Benedict's, right? I had been here, but people drove me here. So I lived in Woodbridge. The school's in the middle of Newark. And my father told me, well, get on the train in Woodbridge, get off in Newark, and go find it. And I did. Yeah, he did. And so on day one or day two, I could actually, if you were here with me, I could take you to the exact spot where I was standing on the first or second day, and I realized at 13 years old, I realized I was home.
Well, that's nice to hear, but I still think that there's a point in time, as you start to get just a little bit older, when you realize that you do have a choice. And I want to continue this discussion because I have said on many episodes of this show, and it's on the Catholic Sports Radio website, that I myself am a Benedictine oblate to the St. Leo Abbey in Central Florida. So I wonder, as you did progress, what continued to attract you to the Benedictine monastic community that you didn't decide, I'm going to go and search and see what else there is?
Yeah, when I was a student here, it was rare to have a non-monk teacher, a layperson. Mm-hmm. So I was around the monks and the priests here in every classroom, right? And I was impressed by the way they dealt with us in every way imaginable, in terms of making demands, in terms of being a friend, being given advice. And I just loved the place. I loved the guys, the kids that were in the place. And now I also, when I was a freshman, we used to have dances up here all the time. And I took to the dances, Mary Ann Garrity, whose father was the undertaker in town. And then by 10th grade, I wound up for me at that point was a meaningful relationship. I remember this is 1961, 62, 63, mm-hmm. with now a woman who's still alive, whose wedding I was present at, whose husband's funeral I had, baptized her kids. So we became very, she was my girlfriend, right? And she was a help. She knew what I wanted to do, and she was actually a big help to me in doing that. And as I say, we're still in touch. She's still texting me the other day. She's 78 years old now, I guess. But I was just so in love with this place and the people in it that it wasn't a difficult decision for me.
It kind of sounds like the old expression, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I experienced that myself when I first started going to the St. Leo Abbey, and I was doing what I titled self-imposed spiritual retreats. I just fell in love with it. And it kind of becomes a case of, it's not you don't know what you don't know. It's why would I go looking elsewhere? Because this just feels so right. This feels like the place to be. And so you know that that's where your heart lies. And you had had such a good experience with the monks and with everything that you'd experienced to that point. Like I said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yep. I think that's certainly fair to say. Yeah, I was from day one, I loved the place. And then the more I was here, because I was here 6 days a week because of practices. In each season of the school year, fall, winter, and spring, I was doing a different sport. So I was here 6 days a week. I grew up in Woodbridge, right? So it was about a 20-minute train ride south. And the number of times I saw my house in the daylight in my 4 years of high school here at Benedict, I could count on one hand, right? Because I'd leave early in the morning and I'd come back late at night.
Wonderful, wonderful. Friends, here's a plot twist. In the intro, I said that Father Edwin has been the headmaster at St. Benedict's Prep for more than 50 years, yet he will be the first to tell you that the kids actually run the school. And it's not a joke. It's not a metaphor. In fact, if you look on the page of the school's website that is titled Our Leadership, there's Father Edwin's picture, and then the next photos are kids, current students. He also believes that faith and sports intersect for students. And I also want to get his thoughts on how sports programs should be uplifting for all. We all, of course, are in the Advent season and the countdown to the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior. Meanwhile, though, the show must go on. We don't stop serving one another and our community just because it's a holiday that we're getting ready for commercially. I could make the argument that this time of year, especially, we should rededicate ourselves to making sure we're serving our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, many of whom are in cold climates and need blankets, warm clothes, a hot meal, or others in locations like here in Florida that simply don't have a gift to put under the tree for their loved one. Let's keep spreading the good news, the hope that we have in Christ, and maybe you do so by way of telling people about this ministry. Encourage them to listen to Catholic Sports Radio for uplifting stories from the great guests that we are blessed to hear witness from week in and week out. Tell people why you like, why you believe in Catholic Sports Radio and how it helps you in your faith life, and help them gain access to it so they can realize that same benefit. And then I ask you to prayerfully consider this ministry as part of your tithing during this holiday season. As I said, the show must go on and the work cannot stop. And so we need to make sure that Catholic Sports Radio is properly funded to allow the work to continue in Jesus' name. The blue Donate to CSR button that's on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to electronically send your contribution to my ministry. Perhaps you would like to send me a Christmas card, and that could also be a vehicle for supporting the show, meaning, since I know some people don't like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. And then regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or mailing me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, as you have heard me do when guests and listeners have sent in a contribution. Or as some people have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing, as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Father Edwin, as I started into all that, I mentioned that at St. Benedict's Prep, the kids run the school. Talk about early life lessons and empowering kids to take ownership. Wow. Tell us about that.
So we were blessed here in the monastery with one of the monks, priests, who was a Notre Dame graduate, was doing a PhD in physics at Columbia University, and he knew he wanted to enter the monastery, so he never did the final research project. He entered the monastery. He had been a former Boy Scout and a scout leader, and his name was Father Mark Payne, and he developed, well, we did it actually together, the leadership structure in the school. And the mantra was, don't do for kids what kids can do for themselves. So that's kind of what we've operated on. Now, that takes a lot, because you have to have the right adults, because kids' process is very different than ours as an adult. It may take the kids 42 days to solve one problem. We want to solve 42 problems in one day. Right? You have to have adults who are willing to pull each other back and say, let the kids deal with it and do it. But the system works. Kids are responsible for one another. And as a result of it, they're in touch with each other long after they're out of here in school. We do projects together. All of our ninth graders have to backpack the Appalachian Trail in New Jersey together. It's a 55-mile hike. And during the pandemic, everybody was concerned about how much of a lag was created in the kids' learning. And I got absolutely zero questions about the learning gap that was created by the pandemic.
Oh, my gosh.
The only thing our alums wanted to know, what do they do about the trail? Did they do the trail? That's all they wanted to know. It's such a formative experience.
Wow.
I was at a wake not all that long ago of one of our alums. And as I arrived, the young man said to me, he said, Father Ed, you just missed my trail group. Now, he had probably walked the trail 15 years before, but the eight guys that walked it with him and his group all came to the wake.
Fantastic.
That's how formative it is.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And we do other adversity challenges, too, in the water, because so many kids in the city in this country are never were taught how to swim because they didn't have access to pools and things. So, we make sure all of our kids can defend themselves in the water. And we've done some work with special operations guys, from our former special operations guy from our military, who Navy SEALs, who do an adversity challenge with our kids in the pool, and we do one out in the woods as well.
Wonderful.
So there's a lot of things that go on that build team together, rely on one another. One of the signs you see around the place all over the is whatever hurts my brother or sister hurts me. So to try to get the understanding of the responsibility for the other, right?
Wow.
That God loves us as we are, and he said, love one another as I have loved you, which means to accept the other the way the other is, not the way that we'd like them to be.
Amen. Amen. Outstanding. Outstanding. We heard about your athletic participation in the first half of the show, but what we did not hear about was a lesson learned when you broke a tennis racket out of frustration. Share with us that story, including, as I said, the takeaway from it.
So I talk to the kids about this all the time. We meet every morning. Our entire school community meets every morning, which creates a big locker room, right? I told you locker rooms were sacred places for good teams.
Mm.
The most important thing we do every day is to meet in that in our morning meeting. And I was playing tennis with one summer, and my partner was a really, really good player too. So we did pretty well in doubles. But he was serving, I was playing at the net. And he served the ball, and our opponent tried to pass me down the alley, right? The space that makes the court bigger, it makes it a doubles court.
You were approximately what age?
I'm probably 16, old enough to know better.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
And I knew he was coming down there, so I tried to cut the ball, so it just went over the net and died, right? Like with the spin you put on it?
Yeah.
And the ball hits the net and drops at my feet. And so because I was standing up at the net, I was about 3 feet away from the net post that held the nets up.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the racket, and back in those days when we were kids, the rackets were all wooden. They weren't metal like they are now. So I proceeded to take the racket and smash it against the net post and break it into toothpick-sized pieces, right? And as a result, the problem was we couldn't play anymore. Mm. I didn't have a racket.
Wow.
So not only did I make a fool of myself, but I screwed up life for my partner and my two opponents.
Wow.
So the kids here now know, I mean, because all I have to say to them is don't forget the tennis racket. In other words, don't make decisions in anger that affect not only you, but everybody else around you.
I love it.
The kids don't know the tennis racket story, yeah.
Yeah, and that segues nicely into the fact that you say that sports programs should be uplifting for all. Share with us that perspective.
It's real important that kids be invested in something, right? And that causes them to give up themselves for the sake of a common goal. That's why I said earlier that one of the mantras that we use a lot is give up what you want for what we need. And sports teach you that. Whether they're individual sports or whether they're a team-oriented sports, they teach you how to sacrifice, how to give up what you may want to do for what the heck you need at that point. And it's very difficult for kids. Kids operate most of the time on their wants. And unless you help them to reflect on you may want it, but do you need it, is a critical decision for kids to get to understand, right? That I need to do certain things. My wants are one thing. I may get to them eventually, but I need to do this for my sake and for the sake of my teammates or coworkers or however it turns out as you get older, which is hard to do because when you're dealing with kids, I tell the parents this all the time, that you have to remember that you're dealing with mentally impaired human beings, right? Because their brains aren't completely developed.
Yeah, yeah.
So the way they go about doing things, you know, lots of times parents will say, what the heck were you thinking? Well, the fact is they weren't thinking the same way we think as adults.
Mm.
So you have to understand that and just kind of, somebody told me this years ago, and I've used it a lot, is you have to teach like a grandmother. So your grandmother used to say the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. I remember leaving the house. My grandmother would say to me, you have a handkerchief? You have money for a telephone call? Over and over. 8 million times I heard that. Right? Well, that's the way you have to teach kids because you're not teaching them for the moment. You're teaching them as they get older and are able to be reflective.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a teenager, you can't reflect on yourself easily. It's hard.
Yeah.
But as you get older and you have the opportunity to begin to reflect on your life, well, then you can remember, oh, yeah, now I understand what they meant when they were saying
exactly, exactly. That's great perspective. You are headmaster at St. Benedict's Prep. You are an active speaker. You have been the subject of media interviews. I'm seeing someone whose day is just packed. There are people in the audience right now saying, yep, I can relate. I get it. That's me. And the priority needs to be spending time with God. How does someone, you or the audience member that's nodding his or her head, make sure that time with God is not the thing that's falling on the list of, well, I'll have to get that tomorrow?
So I'm blessed. I could not be a Christian on my own because I'm just not strong enough to do that. So I have the blessing of living in community with 13 other monks.
Mm.
We pray together at 6 o'clock in the morning, at midday, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and again at 7 o'clock at night. So I have a regular sequence of prayer every day. And then because I live in the monastery and attached to the church, I can go into the church whenever I want. People ask me all the time, the kids, those other faculty members, they say, are you okay? I said, no, I'm not okay. If I were okay, I could live like you. I know I'm not okay. That's why I have to live in a monastery. Mm. I wouldn't be able to be a Christian if I weren't in the monastery. It's much harder for the kids, their parents, to be Christians than it is for me, because I have support all around me in the monastery. Wow. And in addition to the support, you would know this from St. Leo, right? In addition to the support, if I'm not at something, the abbot of the monastery, somebody's asking questions.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know what I mean? Where am I? Yep. Why did you miss morning prayers? Well, that makes it much, much easier for me than it does for somebody that's trying to raise three children and work a job and all that. For me, it's really not that difficult. And then if you get a good enough foundation when you first learn how to do this life, even if you begin to drift from spiritual reading or something like that, not doing it as often every day like you should, well, you begin to know that because you know you're off the rails
a
little bit.
That's right. That's right. And audience, I want to step in here because I can attest to what Father Edwin is saying. The monks at the St. Leo Abbey, they follow that same schedule that you heard him say. And so, unfortunately, what happens is we fall into this rut where we say, but how do you get to all of those throughout the day, knowing that you have to serve in your role as the headmaster and you have to go out on speaking engagements and you have to do me? That has to come first. Everything I just mentioned, being the headmaster, being a speaker, getting interviewed, that all has to come second. God has to come first. So that order helps him because he knows we have 6 a.m., we have midday, we have and so on and so on. And that's what we have to condition ourselves to in our daily lives and not say, well, I'm just not sure where I'm going to be able to fit it into my schedule. No, where is your job? Where is sports going to be able to fit in, given that you're going to give your time to the Lord first? Last question, Father Edwin. St. Benedict's Prep is actually well known for its sports dominance, particularly in basketball, thanks to Dan Hurley, who coached from 2001 to 2010 and now, of course, has led UConn to back-to-back NCAA championships. St. Benedict's Prep has had many athletes land in professional athletics. Father Edwin, as exciting as that is, and as much of a shot in the arm as that is for the school in terms of recruiting, to what extent can you say that you have heard stories of those same student-athletes going on to become good citizens, good neighbors, good husbands and wives, good fathers and mothers, good Catholics, so that you can rejoice that the real mission was accomplished during their time at St. Benedict's Prep?
The most satisfying thing for me is when, since most of our kids participate in athletics or in the theater here, the most satisfying thing for me is not where they go to college or where they get a job afterwards, but if they can introduce me, or when they're able to introduce me to their children. Because many of them could not have been introduced to me by their father, because frequently their fathers were not in their life, right? So to be able to have our guys, and now girls, because now we have, since the girls broke into the place four or five years ago, that's the most important thing for me. And to try to make the kids understand, and the adults here as well. I talk to them all the time. I'm married couples, and that you can only have one primary purpose, right? But once you have competing interests that you think are primary, then it's no longer primary. Mine is my monastic life. That's what energizes the mission. And if you're married, your primary purpose has to be your relationship with your spouse and your kids. That relationship then energizes your ability to do the work in this mission with the kids here. That's super important, because once that gets compromised, everything else will start to fall apart sooner or later. So the relationship with the mystery of the divine, however you call that, I mean, most of our kids here are Christian, although we have a significant Muslim population. We also have Hindus and Sikhs and Jews. And the relationship with the mystery of God is what's important, and therefore the relationship you have with however you've chosen to live your life, either with a monastic community or with a spouse, a partner, that's got to be the primary purpose. Everything else flows from that. So I wind up spending time talking to people about, are you paying attention to your primary purpose, or are you getting compromised?
Wow.
And people can tell you, I'm getting compromised. Well, then you've got to readjust. You have to readjust. Do less here with the kids and focus on that relationship. It's really It's very important.
Amen.
Remember, I grew up watching my father kneeling next to the bed.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. We've come full circle. Wonderful conversation, as I knew it would be. Audience, as you know, when I have a member of the clergy on, I always defer to them for the closing prayer. And Father Edwin has been kind enough to agree to do that. But before you do, Father, let me say a very sincere thank you. I really appreciate you making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you. This was a wonderful conversation.
Thank you, and when you get there again, tell the monks that St. Leo always said hello from up here in Newark.
I will, and if you would please close us out with a prayer.
Let us pray. Well, Lord, our Lord, we ask you to give us a double portion of your Spirit. Keep us always behind your cross under the drippings of your blood. Whatever happens in our life today, let us be able to say, you did it. Help us to rely on you and help us to be able to announce your good news to those lives that we touched. That somebody today may come to know you through us. We make our prayers always in your matchless and mighty name. Let all in accord say amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.